This morning, as we consider one area of sin that Christ warns against, I want you to remember the principle, the picture of Christ, of the Father, looking and longing to renew relationship, because sometimes pride gets in the way, and it's hard for us to repent. It's hard for us to admit where we've been and where we need to be. And yet God is there with open arms waiting for us to come to that point where we agree with Him about what He sees in us. Would you look with me then, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." The Bible says when He began to speak this, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, He wasn't first of all speaking to the crowd of people who were antagonistic. You know, there are religious leaders in this crowd who wanted to trip Jesus up. The Bible tells us so at the end of chapter 11, beginning in verse 52. "Woe unto you lawyers," Jesus said, "for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." And as He said these things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge Him vehemently and to provoke Him to speak of many things, laying wait for Him and seeking to catch something out of His mouth that they might accuse Him. He's in a large group of people, and in that group there are these people who do not like what He's saying, who do not want to hear what He's saying, who want to catch Him saying anything that they could then arrest Him and say He's guilty. Or they could then obviously turn to all the people that are there and say, "Do you hear this? How foolish, how wrong this is. He disagrees with God. He cannot be from God Himself." And they're waiting for that. But Jesus doesn't first speak to that crowd. The Bible says He first spoke to His disciples. Who are the disciples? We don't know if He's speaking just of the 12. Disciple means learner. It means a follower. It means somebody who is listening intently to get what is there so they can become like the master teacher. Many people knew Jesus as a teacher. They knew Him as a master, someone who knew the law, knew God, and they were there because they wanted to know what God said. And hopefully if we come into God's house, we have the same desire. What is the warning? Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware means there is a danger. You know, if you're driving down the road and they're working on overhead lines, they many times will put an orange rubber or plastic something over those lines. Then they'll put a fluorescent yellow green sign that says, cables, beware, you know, some. Why? Because if you're driving a large enough truck or have something sticking up high enough and you hit into that, it's live wire. You know what metal does with live, okay? Yeah, it's not going to be good. So it's a beware, a danger. Problem is there are many times that when someone says beware, they're saying it because you don't know the danger is there. Many times because of pride, we don't want to admit that the danger is a real danger. How many young people have seen signs, no swimming, danger, and jumped into the water anyway? Because you know what? That's for foolish people that don't know how to swim. But I know how to swim. You may know how to swim, but you don't know what's in the water that you are supposed to be kept from. Danger, warning. And so He says, danger, warning. There's something of the Pharisees. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why does He say of the Pharisees? Not because they're the only ones who have this problem, but because it was prominent among them. What was it? Leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is something you add to bread that makes it to expand and rise. Leaven is also used in making alcohol. It is what takes something from a non-alcoholic beverage. The fermenting process is that bubbling process inside, and they have agents to encourage that called leaven, used the same way, that will alter the very substance of the alcohol or the non-fermented liquid to make it fermented. What is he saying then when he says beware or danger? There's something in the Pharisees like leaven. There is an influence among the Pharisees that will spread and affect you. And when it spreads, leaven doesn't leave things just as they are. It alters them. So he says, beware of a spreading, transforming, altering influence, which is what? What is the spreading danger? He says it there, which is hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Well, it's presenting ourselves to be something we are not. It is in word or action, similar to what the Greeks used to do when they would have a play. We today, you know, you get costumes so that you look the part. They would have a mask. If the person was smiling, you could frown all you want, because all you had to do was hold a mask in front of your face that was a smiling mask. And if the person was angry, you could be smiling under there, but you would hold in front of your face a mask that was angry. What are you doing? You're hiding the real you. You're putting something in front that hides the real you. And so we have to ask the question when we're warned about hypocrisy, are you for real? Is what you show us, is what I show you, the real us? Or is there something that we have put out there as a screen, as a mask, that keeps people from knowing who we really are? For instance, you could, it happens, though maybe not particularly in our congregation, but you could dress to impress people. And you may have not a penny to your name, maybe just a few pennies. You go out, buy the fanciest suit you could possibly afford to go meet with somebody to make them think that you are wealthy. Now, are you wealthy? You haven't got a two pennies to rub together after you bought that suit, but you want to make somebody think you're wealthy, so you put on a mask. You hope that they pick up the bill when you're out to eat. Why? Because if you had to pay it, you wouldn't have anything left to do it. You can be hypocritical when you think of speaking religious or spiritual talk. You know, we all know certain spiritual lingo. And I say that not to be crass with the Word of God, but to say there are some things that when you're in a certain group of people, well, let's just pray about that. Now, that would be a common and well-received thing for us to say in this group of people. And we would obviously like to be thought of as people who pray. But there are other places where saying, you know, I'll pray about that for you, may not be quite so well received. But are we the same person here and there? Or do we actually pray? Or is it just a phrase we use? Because, you know, everybody I know prays, and even though I don't pray, I at least better use the language that looks like I pray. You could present to people something about you that isn't actually there. What is the danger of hypocrisy? Well, based on what Jesus says, hypocrisy breeds hypocrisy. Why do I say that? Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven doesn't just sit in one place. It moves and it grows and it spreads. My hypocrisy will produce more hypocrisy in me. And warning, my hypocrisy may also engender hypocrisy in others. Is this really true? Well, Jesus said to beware of a heart-altering influence. And why is it true? Because hypocrisy has another name. Do you know the other name for hypocrisy? A hypocrite? Any other name? Daniel? It is sin. It's a short word. It is a lie. Hypocrisy is when I lie in action, attitude, or in feature in some way to try to communicate to you that I am different than who I really am. Now, this is how lies work, so let me explain them. You understand this. I hope as we go through, you'll say, yes, yes, I can see how that is the case. The first time a lie is told, let's take just for instance that a person, a young person, has been doing something they weren't supposed to. Maybe they were out fooling around with the car when dad had said, don't touch the car. All right, so they were outside and they were playing around. They climbed in the car and, you know, just playing inside it. But they weren't doing bad stuff, but they were told, don't be in the car. All right, so dad comes in and says, hey, were you in the car today? Well, the child has no concept that dad is asking this because he has some reason to know, right? So the child says, no, I wasn't in the car. Okay, why does the child tell such a lie? To cover up something about them that they don't want someone else to know. Were they actually in the car? Yes, we already said they were. So they tell a lie with an effort to cover something about me or that I don't want them to know. You can do this. We mentioned you can try to hide poverty. How do you hide poverty? Well, you can take out a loan. And with a loan, you can buy fancy things. But are you any richer having bought those fancy things on a loan than you were before you got the loan? Well, no. You can try to hide sin by blaming it on others. Son, you said you weren't in the car, but there is some problems inside the car. Some things that are not the way they were when I left this morning. Oh, sister did that. Now, why would I do that? Again, I want to cover up. I've already lied about it, right? So a lie breeds a lie, because now I want to appear like I'm a good person. So if it was me, I've obviously now lied and done something wrong. So I'm going to tell another lie to make myself look righteous so that I don't get caught and I'll just pass it along to somebody else that might have done it. The lie is then furthered when I begin to believe that I am what I pretend to be. See, this is what happens with hypocrisy. So I lie. I say I am wealthy. I take out this big loan. I buy the fancy clothes. I get a nice fancy car so that I can do all this. I get this money from the bank. I don't have money to pay back the bank. I don't even have hope of having money to pay back the bank. But I'm driving this car around, and pretty soon I begin to think of myself as a wealthy person. I've lied to other people about who I actually am. Now I'm beginning to believe the lie myself and think to myself, hey, I think I'm wealthy. I can pay all this back. You can. Have you ever known of anybody that has struggled with gambling? They'll go in there. First time they may lose a few dollars. They may win quite a few dollars. And then they may start losing more money than they have ever dreamed of having. And they will say this lie to themselves, I can win it all back. They believe a lie that's there. But we begin to present ourselves as something we are not. Wealthy, wise, spiritual, whatever it is. The lie is to convince other people because we know something about ourselves that isn't very nice. And we want other people to think of us as nice. Problem is, after a while telling that lie, I begin to think of myself a certain way, just like I'm lying to you about it. What is the problem? Well, now I begin to think I don't have a problem. It's everyone else that has a problem. You go to work and the boss criticizes something. Well, it's not me that's got the problem. I'm not that type of a person. It's everybody else. It is a troubling problem. The problem is not there finished, though. We tell the lie to cover something. The lie continues when I begin to believe it about myself, and the lie is complete when I no longer believe what God says about me. All right, so here we are, hypocrite. Come to church. I say all the right spiritual things, but after I leave the church, from Sunday morning to Sunday morning, there is nothing in my life that mirrors what I just showed in church. Now, understand this. Let's take time out, okay? Time out. There are lots of people who say, I'm not going to church because church is full of hypocrites, and they have the wrong definition of hypocrite. Hypocrite is not sinner saved by grace who still struggles with sin. Because guess what? That's everybody. All right, everybody in here, if you are a born-again child of God, you are a sinner saved by the grace of God, and you will still struggle with sin. But understand this, that is different than presenting yourself as something you are not. We all struggle. And it's foolish for us to put on a front that says we do not. Do you know why? So my wife and I come in here, and our kids are perfect. We have always wonderful spirit in our home. You just couldn't believe the sweetness of the aroma of the love that just flows out of our house. Wow. I wish I could have a home like a preacher's home. And the preacher goes home and says, I wish I could have a home like the preacher's home. But see what happens is everybody begins to think that's the way it is in their house because he presents it that way. And so Phyllis begins to think, boy, if the preacher's got a home like that, he's going to think ill of me if I don't have a home like that. And then Mr. Ball, he believes the same thing. Russell begins to think, you know what? If I better come in looking. So I'm yelling at those kids all morning. I'm fussing at my wife all morning. But when we get to the car, I say, now listen up. When we get in that church, you sit up nice, straight, and tall. When the preacher says good morning, you say, hallelujah, I love Jesus. And then when the singing is going, you give everything you've got. When we get out of here, you can throw it all under the seat and pick it up next week. All right, why would we do that? Because somebody begins to think, if it is actually that way, why do I ever tell you when I struggle with sin? Why would I ever do that? I don't want anyone to think that the man standing up here trying to tell you the truth doesn't struggle with the same truth you're struggling with. Why? Because if we put on an air that says we are not struggling anymore, that we do not have weakness, that we never struggle with discouragement, that we never have battles with sin, then other people begin to look and go, wow, wish I could be just like that. No, you don't. Because it's miserable to hide behind a mask all the time and never be able to say to somebody, could you pray for me? It hurts. You got to be able to let that go and be a real person. Jesus said, beware. Why? Because hypocrisy breeds hypocrisy. And the lie had already completed itself among the Pharisees, and he didn't want it to happen to his followers. How do I know? Look back in the text we looked at last week, verse number 45. Jesus has just corrected the scribes and the Pharisees. And Luke 11:45 says, then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. Now, why are they saying that? Jesus had preached about sin, and Jesus had preached the need to repent and believe the gospel. He had preached all this over and over and over again. But now, Jesus said, it's you guys. Do you see that? And they said, wait a minute. You're reproaching us too. He had been trying to the whole time, but hypocrisy had caused them to say, that's someone else's need. I don't have sin like that. And then when Jesus said, lawyers, Pharisees, scribes, he said, wait a minute. You talking about us? And he said, yes, that's the point. The point is sin gets at us. You know, in a church, it ought not be that the preacher has to say, now deacons, they ought to see themselves as the same as everybody else. And when the sermon is preached, everybody's involved, right? We shouldn't have to call out names and say, do you see this? Listen, when you start talking about what we watch, what we say, what we listen to, listen, you ought to be able to right away say, okay, God, we're talking about things I look at. What do I look at? God, are you pleased with those? Not, oh, I'm sure what I watch is okay. Because I'm a mature believer. Beware, we just stuck a mask in front of our face that says mature believer. And then when God says, beware of what you're looking at, I say, well, that must be, I guess that's somebody over on that side of the church, because I have begun already to believe the lie. And when I believe the lie so long, then God says, do you see the sin in your life? And you say, sin? Not in me. No, I think there might be some sin somewhere, but you haven't hit on it yet, God. Why would God come knocking at my door and say, preacher, get rid of that alcohol? Why would he do that? It would be a waste of time. There isn't any in the house to get rid of. Right? When he comes knocking and he says, preacher, he's doing it because he's seen something. When the Spirit of God taps at your heart in the service and you say, that's not me, you go, well, just that. Why was he tapping? He wasn't tapping because it was the guy next door that he needed you to tell about it. He's tapping because he wants to get a hold of your heart. Hypocrisy spreads as it deadens our conscience to what is true. Hypocrisy spreads as our senses are deadened. They're seared to what is true about us and about God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. In this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul writing is speaking about the end times, a time when there's going to be a falling away, a time where people are turning away from God. And in so doing, he speaks about this matter of hypocrisy, but I want you to see what is put with it, because we've defined hypocrisy also as a lie. The Bible says this, beginning in verse 1, we'll read verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit, 1 Timothy 4, 2, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Why would they do that? Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Hypocrisy described the religious leaders of Christ's day. Jesus was warning that hypocrisy would become a problem and infect his own followers. Hypocrisy deadens our conscience so that we no longer even know what is true. Lies are spoken as our conscience is deadened. You know, most addicts believe a lie. They begin to believe that lie for so long that it appears that the lie is now the truth. And that's a dangerous thing that hypocrisy will do. It flip-flops what is true and false, so that we now believe what is false is true and what is true is false. Now, this often happens. I don't know that it happens every time, but it was at least presented this way, and I've seen it a few occasions in personal experience. Some people will begin smoking early. And when they do, they don't do it openly with a mom or a dad taking them out and say, "Hey, son, I'd like to help you learn how to smoke." Many times, young people are brought into smoking by a friend. And where do they do it? Secretly. All right, so they're given a chance to smoke. They begin to smoke. And what do after they've been smoking? Get as much Listerine or Benaca spray. Do something. Why? I want to present to you that I am not what I am. But what happens then when they are confronted with the smoking? Somebody, you know, finds a cigarette stain, a burn, the clothes smell a little bit, finds cigarette butts maybe lying around behind the garage or something like that. Then they try to hide how often it actually takes place. So I lie, it's not happening, I'm covering it up, it's a mask. Then when I'm confronted, I say, well, this was the first time. I mean, there's a few sick that I had several friends over. They wanted me to try it. I tried. I told them I'd never do it again. Don't worry about me. What am I doing? I'm trying to hide who I am. Then when it consumes them such that it is not just a once a day thing, not just an after school thing, but it is a regular throughout the day habit, they try to hide the grip that it holds on them. Now, all along the way, they're presenting to people that's not who they are, that's not who I am, that's not who I am. Then when it gets a hold of them, they have already believed that that's not who they are. And when someone confronts them and says, look, that seems to be all through, well, it's not really a problem. I can stop any time I want. Is that true? It's not really true, because they don't really want to stop. There is no desire, because the body now has a longing for that. They can't now. No, they could. But they don't. They believe the lie that I don't have a problem. It's a problem that addicts have, but I also don't want this morning for us to think that it's just other people. There are seared consciences in the church as well, that we need to ask God to pull off those layers of callus that form. You know, Nathan, as you were showing me your hands and Ralph's, you know, after a long time working with those cardboard that cuts them, and they just get stiff, and you don't feel the pain as much after so long of doing that, do you, Ralph? In order for that to stop, when I was learning how to play the guitar for a while, I was trying. It didn't go real far because music is not my cup of tea, but I tried. the calluses began to form on the tips of my fingers, and I didn't feel when I pressed down the strings. It didn't bother me after so long. I could do it, and it didn't hurt like it did when I started. But then when I laid the guitar down for a while, and didn't try for a little while, and then I tried to come back, ooh, what had happened? The callus had one way. We now had fresh skin. What we need in the house of God is for God to tear off that layer of callous and hypocrisy that builds sometimes in our lives and get us back to that freshness where we were when we first got saved and somebody said something. We said, you know what? I probably shouldn't be listening to that. I probably shouldn't be, I probably shouldn't go there. And then over time, it got to be a place where we said, you know, it's probably not a big deal if I go. Probably won't matter too much. I mean, look, I still go to church faithfully every week. Certainly, this is not a problem. Look, I still read my Bible. Well, maybe not as much as I did, but more than others. And so it's certainly not something I couldn't stop if it ever came to the place that I should stop. And we make these excuses. How many of you, don't raise your hand, I just want you to think. How many of us, how many of God's people would say of themselves, I am faithful to God? Would say if they were confronted, I do love God. Yet, after we talked about idols on Wednesday night, I began to think through this. When was the last time we compared our love and faithfulness that we declare we have toward God with the way we love and are faithful to things on this earth? There are some things here on earth that we would have to be deathly sick for us to miss out on. You know, Eddie Roberts is a real challenge to me. When he gets down sick and can barely walk, do you know where he wants to be? He wants to be with God's people. Is my love for God like that, or have I put up some bit of a mask? Yes, I love God. Yeah, I love missions. How active am I in missions if I love missions? Missions is carrying God's message of salvation to anyone that is lost. It's not going around the world. Oh, I'm faithful to God. Well, faithful to God is not Sunday morning. Faithful to God is not Sunday night. Faithful to God is not Wednesday night. That's what my preacher told me growing up. If you're going to be faithful to God, be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Faithful to God is all day, every day. All day long. Right? When that is the case, I believe then that we would be regular when the church is open and the people are together. I believe that would be evidence of it. But look, you could be here every single service that the doors are ever open and not be a bit faithful to God, because this is a place that people sometimes come. I'm not faithful to Walmart, but I might be there every week. If Walmart does something that doesn't please God, I shop somewhere else if I need to. I'm not faithful to Walmart. I can come here, I can sit in a seat and never be faithful to God because I like Phyllis. I want to go sit by Phyllis in church. I like Ralph, so I want to see Ralph, so I'll be there. Look, that's faithful to people. You know? Are we faithful to God? We have scheduled in June a week of revival or evangelistic meetings, the first that our church has had. I believe God, when we have meetings such as that, has a purpose. And I believe God wants to clean house. Any of you like spring cleaning? I like spring cleaning. I think my family doesn't like me to like spring cleaning, but I like it. I like to tear things out. I like to get rid of things. I like to clean them. I just like that fun that is a part of that. But there are lots of people that don't like the fun of that, because then they have to admit that they've stored more things than they should store, and they haven't gotten things as clean as they wanted to get. But when God cleans house, He doesn't do it the way I do. Now, when I clean house, I go into a room, and I start pulling stuff out that's been stuffed somewhere, and I say, a decision must be made. We're getting rid of this. And if somebody says, I'm not making a decision, I pick it up, and it goes out of the house to somebody that can use it, or into the trash if it's no longer useful. God doesn't do that. God comes into the house and says, you see that? Do something with it. God says, you see that sin right there? God, are you sure that's sin? Do you see that sin right there? God, I'm not sure that's really sin. Do you see that sin right there? God, it might be that that's left over. No, but I don't think it's sin.
God says, do you see that sin right there? And what God's waiting for us to say, yes, Lord, confess it. It's sin. And repent and take it out. But God isn't just coming around going, ooh, goodbye, sin. I do that because if the kids get too much debt lying around, all right, take it out. I'll do it. But God isn't going to do that. God's going to say, look at the sin and do something. And if we've got hypocrisy built up over our heart, callous leg, he's going to say, deal with that sin. And we're going to say, I don't see sin.
And the preacher's going to give an invitation. He's going to say, if you want to deal with God about something we talked about this morning, you come forward. Let's deal with it. Let's get it right before we go out the doors. And you're going to say, why would I ever go forward? Why would I respond? I'm already looking good. Right? Every lie we tell makes it harder to tell the truth and makes the charade a constant ordeal. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 28. The reason we have to continue the charade is because of how we have presented ourselves to others. Matthew chapter 23. We'll read verse 27, but 28 is the key that I want us to look at. Matthew 23, 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. When people begin to believe our lie, the hypocrisy that we present, it's hard to go back and let them know we're not what we said we were. The problem is hypocrisy will convince others, which will then begin to convince me, but you never do convince God, because God knows exactly what's in your heart. God wants to clean house, but we resist what he's doing. Why would I ever go forward in an invitation if I already look good? If I've already presented a clean, righteous, no problem persona to the people around me, could I ever then step forward and say, it's not what I've said it is? You can. But it becomes much more difficult. The charade that we present in hypocrisy is self-defeating. It's a heart issue. It's inward. It's not just an outward thing. Notice the verse. It says, even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy. The outward hypocrisy is a result of what's going on the inside. It's a heart issue, and the charade we live in, as we do this, present ourselves as something different, is self-defeating. Why is that? All right, let's take the church and being spiritual or desiring spirituality. I believe anybody that's a child of God ought to desire to have the power of the Spirit of God and to walk in that way. But if we are not, and we present ourselves to be spiritual, what happens? I want to be a person of prayer. So I get together and I find that Brother Tyler and Vincent, you know, they are just always praying. But, I'm just not. I can't seem to get myself on my knees to pray. But when I'm around them, I realize they're people of prayer. That's what I'd like to be. So I say, God's answering prayers. And isn't he good? And prayers are wonderful. And I present this to you, what have I just done? I've lied. I want to be spiritual, but what's now in my heart? As I am hypocritical, I have now lies filling my heart. So I want to be walking toward God in a spiritual way. I present it. But in actuality, every step of hypocrisy takes me farther away from the very thing I want to be. I may want to be a loving husband. I may want to be any number of things, but if I am only a screen, all I am doing is walking farther and farther away. Why is that? Because when God is saying, confess, I'm saying, but I am that God. God says, confess, but I am that already God. God says, turn around. No, God, I'm already there.
Now, I should be way over there, but because of hypocrisy, I've walked farther and farther away. Hypocrisy is self-defeating. I want people to see me as something, but as I walk in that way, I am walking farther and farther away from God, and God looks at my heart, and he knows the problem. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Charade is a bit like fool's gold. Have any of you ever seen fool's gold? Know what I'm talking about? Iron pyrite, I think, is the other name for it. It sparkles like gold. People will think it's valuable, but it is not actual gold. And we, when we have hypocrisy, appear to be sparkly, appear to be spiritual, appear to be wealthy, appear to be something we want people to think of us. But the heart is not those things. How do you know the difference between gold and fool's gold? If you take heat and apply it to gold, it simply melts. Some of the dross may come to the top if you get it hot enough. And it's just gold. It just purifies it. If you take heat and put it to fool's gold, it will smoke. And not only will it smoke, it will produce a rather foul odor. Do you know what heat is to the believer's life? Heat is the trial and testing of life. And when you put us under the microscope or under the testing in the crucible, as it were, of a fiery test, when we have presented ourselves to be spiritual and everything around us begins to fall apart, when all around my soul gives way, I've got nothing left because it was all hypocrisy. Or, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. It's either one or the other. If I'm a hypocrite, trials come and it all falls apart around me. There's nothing to hold on to. If I'm a hypocrite and people think, wow, he is a really wise and spiritual person, and they come and they say, I need some help, I need some counsel, here's the trouble in my life, I need someone to point me to God. And you ask them, what are they going to give? They'll just give a smoke and a foul odor. That doesn't work. Why? Because they don't really have any foundation. They presented themselves. As we think on this year, I want us to be prepared in prayer for the week of meetings that we're going to have. Revival is the rekindling of that fire in our hearts that used to burn brightly for God, but perhaps over time has grown dim because of different sins or activities that have caused us to wander a few steps or more from God. Maybe our heart has grown a little cold in some areas that used to be excited about. Revival is when the Spirit of God looks in our heart and he shines a light and says, do you see that in there? And we go, yes, Lord, I do. And as he takes that out, we come back to that newness of salvation. There is joy in a relationship with Christ. I have never met a new believer, one who just prayed to receive Christ, that said, wow, this is the hardest, worst thing I've ever done. Why? There is a sweetness in the relationship with Jesus. But over time, little by little, little sins get in the way. And they rob us of that. And that's why people will come to you. Maybe you've said it and said, you know what? I just don't feel saved. Why don't they feel saved? Because when they got saved, though salvation is not an emotion, salvation is not a feeling, there are feelings that go with it. When you get saved, there is a joy that floods your heart, there is a peace that floods your heart, there is a hope and a confidence, and it's just wonderful. And then when sin comes in, the flesh robs us of the grace of God, which brings all of those things into our heart. People look around and say, you know what? I thought I got saved, but I don't feel saved. When revival begins to break out among God's people, the Spirit of God shines this light onto whatever it is that is blocking us from receiving that joy, that peace that is in Christ. And revival doesn't happen when we say, that's not sin, God. I'm okay. But it begins to take place when God's people say, you know what, that is sin, and I don't care what anybody else says. I need to get that right with God. It's the spring cleaning of our hearts.
But a hypocrite, he already looks good. There's no point in doing anything more. How do you deal with hypocrisy? Very simply, you deal with hypocrisy like you do with pride, because hypocrisy is pride. It's how I want to be seen by others. And so how do you deal with pride? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Why? Because God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Jesus says so in verse number 2 of this chapter that we're looking at, Luke chapter 12. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Covered means to hide away from view. Revealed means to put back into view. So Jesus says there's nothing that you hide that I'm not going to shine a light on. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. One day the cover on all of our charades and hypocrisy will be blown off. It would be better that we would take that cover off now and deal with God. The sweetness of walking without a mask is much nicer than trying to make sure that your mask is always on